Hey guys, this is Britt Baker, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Nation.
This is James Ellsworth, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Nation. Keep fighting.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Nation, episode 101. Welcome to the highest numbered episode ever. Okay, I stole that from a South Park joke. From a South Park commercial, like 10 years ago when season 10 came out. Nobody remembers it. Welcome everybody to another exciting, amazing, awesome, stupendous, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you never know who's going to stop by the studio. What's going on, people? How is it going? I have a special episode this week. Like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this episode, you guys. And it just kind of happened. It just kind of fell into my lap. And I appreciate it. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate my guest that came on this week first. She was on Monday Night Raw, week one of the new era. She faced Nia Jax. She's an independent pro wrestler from Brittsburg, Pennsylvania. I had Britt Baker, and she was amazing. It was really fun talking to her. I've been following her, you know, on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff for a little while, so I was fairly familiar with her. And I saw her name on Raw, Britt Baker, and I knew who she was, and I was excited. And I was really excited for her. And, you know, I waited a little bit for the hype to kind of calm down so I could reach and get in contact with her. I can't even speak. And, you know, I asked her to come on to the show, and she accepted. And it was really fun. It was really interesting. It was awesome. So you kind of get to know Britt Baker a little bit, who she is, where she came from, what her ambitions are, what her future is. And you could hear a lot about Monday Night Raw when she was there. She was backstage. You know how she got the call, you know, going in the ring against Nia Jax. It's fun. It's really fun. Also on the podcast, I had the lovable, the internet sensation, James Ellsworth. James is a very interesting guy. He's been making the rounds, doing the podcast. This guy, he was also an enhancement talent on week one of the new era. And he went up against Braun Strowman. James got mic time. And they asked him, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you fighting Braun Strowman? He talks about that. He talks about Braun Strowman. He talks about getting the call. He talks about all this fun stuff. What he's doing outside of WWE. What James Ellsworth is doing. Who is Pretty Jimmy Dream? Find out. All that good stuff when I talk to James Ellsworth. It's a fun conversation. It's really cool. So I appreciate both of them for coming on. They were both on the first week of the new era, which was amazing. It was a Raw that's going to go down in history. People are going to remember the first Raw of the new era. We got the squash matches back featuring these two great people. We had Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the women's championship. We had Finn Balor winning two matches in one night, pinning Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring. Well, actually kind of like towards the corner, and becoming the number one contender. We had the introduction of the Universal title. Like, this Raw is going to go down in history. And I'm honored to have these two people, Britt Baker and James Ellsworth, because, I don't know, I'm going to just stop gushing and get to the conversation in a minute. Before I go any further, though, I just want to say Pro Wrestling Nation can be found every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, the Google Android Play. I don't really know how that works. I have the podcasting app. I can't find my show, but it's on there somewhere because I got the email saying that I got approved. So if you guys find it on the Google Play app, just let me know. Tweet me at PWN Podcast. Send me a little screenshot and I'll give you a thumbs up. Also, can be found every single week on RedDragonsRadio.com, ran by my good friend Don Mega, who has a bunch of great podcasts on there. If you love movies and pop culture and all that great stuff, check out Am I on the Air? Because Don loves to watch movies and he loves to review. In fact, I'm probably going to go on there and see what he thought of Suicide Squad, because I was supposed to see it this weekend. It got sold out by the time I got to the theater. So I went and we got cheesesteaks instead, you know. You know, pretty good, pretty good. So, yeah, so I'm going to check out Don Mega when he gets a Suicide Squad review up. I'm going to check that out, and you should too. Also, Gerwick.net, G-E-R-W-E-C-K, Gerwick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling since 1997. It's a great website. It just got a makeover. Everything looks fantastic on the website. Go check it out, Gerwick.net. You can find my podcast on there. You can find content by Atlee Green. You can find Steve Gerwick. You can find my boy Frank D. You can find Teddy Long. Check out the Gerwick Report podcast. Man, Teddy Long, man. It's so cool to hear him just like talk about all kinds of stuff. I know I say this like every week, but it's really cool to hear, because Teddy Long is not a guy that you would think would do a weekly podcast. But it's cool. It's really fun. It's really fun. So check that out. Holla holla. Playa playa. Okay, I think without any further ado, let's go to my conversation. First, we're going to talk to Britt. Britt Baker, all the way from Brittsburg, Pennsylvania. And then we're going to go to Mr. James Ellsworth. And then we'll come back and we'll take it home. All right, guys, thank you very much. Enjoy. These two conversations are really fun. They're really interesting. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. So just enjoy them both. And I'll see you guys on the other side of it. Gentlemen, I am on the line with independent pro wrestler Britt Baker. How you doing, Britt?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, congratulations on your Monday Night Raw debut.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
How long have you been wrestling?
Actually, it was either today or yesterday is a year, exactly.
Wow, congratulations.
I think it was technically yesterday. It was exactly 1 year. Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. So less than 1 year and you're on Monday Night Raw, huh?
Yeah, and I my first match was actually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, too. And then who would have known a year later you get to meet Nia Jax in the ring.
Oh, yeah, Raw was in Pittsburgh last week, right?
What's that?
When you were on Raw? It was in Pittsburgh when you were on Raw?
Yeah, yep.
Wow, so you were here in front of, like, friends and family?
No, at Raw?
Yeah.
No. They just emailed me. They always kind of have extras on, just kind of on call, kind of if they need anything. And I was just there for an extra. And anytime I've been there for extra before, I literally do nothing. And eventually found out just hours before the show, before Raw started filming, they're like, we're gonna have you on with Nia. And I'm thinking dark match, something. I had no idea that it was gonna be live on Monday Night Raw. So nerves were through the roof, if you could imagine.
Wow, so it was like a last minute kind of thing.
Well, if it wasn't, I didn't know. So there's that.
It was a last minute thing for your end anyway, right?
Right.
That's cool. So let's get into a little bit of what you're doing right now. What's going on with you these days?
So currently, I'm still, obviously, still wrestling, still training, because you never stop learning.
No, never.
I trained originally in Pittsburgh with IWC under two guys. They go by Super Hentai and Marshall the Bull Gambino. Finished up my year training there. The school's a year, and I reached out to AIW, which is a school in Cleveland, kind of to get just to get more training, to get different training, to learn new things. And so currently I train with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae.
That's amazing.
Can't say enough great things about those two. They're just fabulous people inside and out.
Did you relocate to Cleveland, or do you travel?
No, I travel. So
how far is
drive,
that?
On a bad day with traffic, it's a little over 3 hours, but usually.
Oh wow.
On the way home, it's like 2 hours. So.
I guess that's character building, huh?
Oh, that's for sure.
It shows how bad you want it.
You get a lot of that. You get a lot of that in this business with the ring crew and the you know, flyering and training, but.
Oh yeah.
It's fun. It's all fun.
I do stand up comedy, and definitely bad nights are definitely character building. That's for sure.
Right.
How long have you been with AIW and Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae?
Oh man, that's a good question. I want to say like since December or so, or maybe November.
Okay.
I haven't been there too long, but even the short time I've been there, I personally have seen so much improvement with just my in-ring work and skill and creativity. They're both phenomenal, like picking your brain to help you come up with like cooler, better ideas that work personally for you. It's like I can't put them over enough. They're just awesome people. And you know, the training, we obviously, if there's a group of us that train, but they always give individualized feedback and individual training. There's really nothing. I consider Candice one of my good friends now. So I'll just call her and have like life talks and text her about life talks too. So I guess they're really helping in all aspects right now.
I saw a little video. I was looking through your Twitter just to like kind of see some stuff about you, and I saw a video of you filming Johnny coming out for an NXT match, and you were sitting next to Candice in the audience.
Right. So Johnny was in. Yeah, they were filming NXT, or they weren't filming. It was a live show, NXT, and Candice texted me. She goes, "Hey, I have an NXT ticket to NXT Live. Come with me." And I was like, "Absolutely." So that was fun.
That's
too.
Amazing. That's really awesome. So I don't want you to confirm or deny anything, because at this point it's just rumors. Johnny Gargano is finishing up with AAW. He has his last date with AIW. He finished up with a couple other companies. So there's rumors that he's getting signed by the WWE. Like, how does that make you feel as one of your trainers is going away to the big time?
Well, I'm not going to confirm or deny that. But just to answer your question, if he is leaving, you know, it's bittersweet, because you want, as an indie worker, you want to see all indie workers succeed, just because everyone's hustling, everyone's grinding, and it's so cool when you see everybody, like, people putting in this hard, especially Johnny. He works so hard. Like, he eats, sleeps, and breathes wrestling, and, you know, his wife is a wrestler. Everything about him is just wrestling. So someone like that, who's just such a good person, such a helpful person, to succeed, you can't be bitter, but at the same time, it's like, oh my gosh, that's my trainer right now, he's gone, what am I going to do? So it's like a little bit of a panic mode, but nothing too drastic, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine. You're doing really well. You made Monday Night Raw already.
Right.
So with Johnny and Candice, I got my girlfriend into wrestling about 5 years ago, WWE and stuff like that, and we've gotten into PWG, a few other indies, and she has really gravitated to Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. We went to an Evolve show WrestleMania weekend last year, not this year, but last year, and we weren't expecting Candice to be there, but she was there, and my girlfriend was wearing the I don't know if you're familiar, the pink Powerpuff Girl shirt that says Candice LeRae on it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And she was so nervous to approach her. And I said, just go talk to her. And Candice was about as excited as my girlfriend was, because
oh my gosh,
apparently...
Like, There's not like a mean bone in her body. She is always so happy. It's so just, she's the most approachable person in the world. So I hope your girlfriend did go up to her, because she would have made a mistake if she didn't walk up to Candace.
No, she did.
She's just excited about everything in life. She's just such a fun person.
I know. I forced her to go talk to her. Just go say hi, and it'll go from there. And Candace was excited because Johnny apparently pointed my girlfriend out across the room and said, "Hey, look, she's wearing your shirt." And that was a pretty exciting moment for them.
Yeah. So they're just super amazing people, both of them.
Do you have a fun Candice LeRae story or Johnny Gargano story? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Let me think. Oh, I do. Actually, at the NXT, with Candice, I was sitting next to Candice, and Bayley's entrance has, I don't even know what you call them, the blow-up.
Oh,
like,
the blow-up people. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know what they are, but they were, like, malfunctioning that night, apparently, and we were right next to the entrance, and Bayley's right-hand man just kept falling on top of us. Like, we literally had to, like, pick it up together and, like, get this thing off of us, tag team, because we just kept falling and falling, and everyone was watching, so it was funny, but at the same time, I was like, okay, what do we do?
That's awesome. I wonder if that happens to a lot of people at shows. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was there, and then she came out and just kind of popped up and fell right on top of us. And we were laughing. No harm, no foul there, but...
Yeah, definitely. What are some of your favorite matches that you've had in the past year or so?
You know, that is so hard. I'm super... super critical of all my matches. I watched them back and I'm like, oh, I hate that.
Yeah,
Why did I do that?
Just remember, sorry to interrupt you for a second. When I first started doing comedy, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, you are your own worst critic.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. What happened?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, now I can hear you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear
okay.
you. Okay. Okay. What did you say when you chimed in there?
When I first got into comedy, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, "You are your own worst critic."
Oh, and that's like me to a T. I watch them back and
yeah.
I like cringe. I'm like, oh, I hate it. I hate my head.
I know the feeling.
I hate that. But as far as favorite matches, I had a match. I guess it's always cool when you get to wrestle people that you look up to, and I wrestled Deonna Purrazzo, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
You know,
she's
all over the place wrestling. She's extremely talented. Just recently, I wrestled in the AIW's JT Lightning Invitational Tournament, and that's a huge honor, and it's a big deal to be able to wrestle in that. And I wrestled, actually, a dude named Alex Daniels, and he's like a high flyer, all over the place, lucha, crazy. Just he's a very skilled wrestler, and that was fun. It was challenging, and it's obviously nerve wracking to be on like a stage like that. But it was really fun.
That's awesome. What are your feelings on intergender wrestling? Because I know somebody like Candice LeRae, WWE kind of said, "Hey, ladies, you know, if you want to get signed, don't do intergender wrestling." And then Candice LeRae kind of went public and said, you know, nobody's going to tell me not to do this. What are your thoughts on intergender wrestling?
Well, because I don't really think WWE ever said that.
Oh, didn't they not? I read online. It could have been fake, but I did read that online.
Yeah, everybody will say whatever they want to say about intergender mm-hmm. wrestling. My opinion is it can be done. Just, like, don't insult the fans' intelligence. You know, like, I can't have the same match with, you know, say Alex Daniels that I would have with Candice LeRae. I keep the same moves aren't going to take out a guy that are going to take out a girl, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, I don't, like, look, Candice is one of the best wrestlers, in my opinion, of all time. Not even just of female wrestlers, of male and female. If you could put her in a ring with anybody and she would be able to make it work and tell a great story with it. So, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of biased on intergender wrestling because I've done it and who my trainers are. But, I mean, it can be done wrong. It's the same breath. So.
Yeah, Candice is amazing, though. Like, she had a match like a year or so ago with Adam Cole. and then her tag team matches with Joey Ryan. Like, she's definitely one of the most amazing women wrestling men I've ever seen.
And that's what I said. She's, in my opinion, one of the best wrestlers of all. Like, there's not even just of all females. It's everybody. She's so good. I'm convinced there's nothing she can't do.
Yeah, I believe that one. I definitely believe that one. So you said that you've had a lot of extra work, but nothing's really come of it. How did the WWE really, like, get you on their radar?
So everyone fills out a bio that's online with just WWE recruit page. And I was invited down in September. I did a tryout camp. I did extra work first, got invited down to a tryout camp in Orlando. It was on my tryout was on the season of Breaking Ground when they showed the recruits trying out. So that was cool. And then pretty much any time they're in town, if they need workers and a lot of times they don't need workers, you won't hear anything, but. I mean, I would be lying if I said I wasn't kind of, like, checking my email more frequently around the time WWE rolls into town.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are. Right? It's a pretty big deal. Is this the first time you ever actually did anything with them?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's awesome. So how did it feel to get the call, like, to say, hey, you're going with Nia tonight?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't even get a call. They just emailed, hey, we'd like to have you for extra work. Okay, cool. I show up there, you know.
Worst case scenario, you get some catering and go home.
Yeah, right. And they come up and they're like, we're going to have you with Nia tonight. And I'm like, what? Like, it's just kind of like I wasn't getting it at first. I guess is the best way to describe that. I was like, are you, what's happening? Huh? And then I'm just assuming, oh, okay, must be like a dark match for Raw or something. Or maybe she wanted to try out some new moves or something. I don't know. No, you're second match, segment 5, Monday Night Raw. Good luck.
That's a pretty big deal. That's awesome.
Word.
And the thing is, the reason why you're so surprised is because this whole enhancement match that they have been doing the past couple of weeks, that's a whole new thing for them. Well, it's an old thing, but it's a new thing too.
Right, especially with the women's division. Right.
Speaking of the women's division, recently, you know, the women never really got their due respect in the WWE. For a long, like the past 10 years or so, they've been kind of TNA, pretty faces, whatever. But the last year or so, they've been getting a lot of respect. They had a Divas Revolution, and they brought up some women from NXT. I guess, first of all, what do you think of the word diva? I know they got rid of it, but do you feel, because some people think it's like a demeaning word for women or whatever, because diva's kind of a catty person. And like, what do you think of the term diva for women?
I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to get all hot over a title of what we call women who are kicking ass in the ring, because at the end of the day, that's what they're doing, they're kicking ass. So if we want to call them women's wrestlers, divas, whatever, they're still going to like come to work and do an amazing job. I guess that's kind of how I feel about
it. That's a good point. And what do you think of just what they've been doing lately with these women?
It's phenomenal. These matches are just, it's like every week, it's what's next. And, actually, this most recent WrestleMania, I think the women's match was arguably one of the best of the night.
Yeah, they had a really good match at WrestleMania this year, too. A lot of the internet marks were very upset when Nia Jax got drafted so high in the draft. Everybody's like, oh, she's not ready, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she looks ready to me. You've been in the ring with her. What do you think about Nia Jax and how, you know, where she's come from?
You know, it's all, everybody on the internet is, they're the experts always, but,
yeah, I know, they are.
You gotta, like, trust the business. If they felt she's ready for Raw, she's ready for Raw, but, I mean, just her presence in the ring is, and I can tell you, is absolutely terrifying. Like, I'm not really sure what people, like, have, why they have a hard time believing that she's not from this just crazy monster that will throw you around like a rag doll, because clearly she is. Like, she's been bringing it more than I even hoped that she would be able to as far as Raw. And she had excellent matches in NXT, you know, Asuka, Bayley, everybody. And those weren't squash matches. Those were, you know, she was taking the hits just as much as she was giving them. And she's, I think she's a great wrestler, great, just all around, just character, everything. I love it.
They always say on commentary, like, how strong she is. Can you speak to the strength of Nia Jax?
How strong she is? Oh, my goodness. She is strong. Like I said, like, ragdoll? Absolutely. That's how she makes people look. But more importantly, that's how she makes you feel. It's just, you're gone. When she gets a hold of you, look out.
Is it as crazy as it looks on TV?
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome.
You know,
and,
she's a force.
Another thing, you were there Monday night last week backstage. Were you there for the entire duration of Raw?
Yes.
So you were there in the building when Sasha Banks and Charlotte went out there, and they had a tremendous match. What was the backstage environment like during the match and maybe even after Sasha won the belt?
I mean, in and out of WWE and wrestling, those girls are just respected so highly, and as they should be, because, you know, diva wrestler, whatever you want to call them, they're just phenomenal. It's crazy to see how women's wrestling has evolved just within the past, couple years. They are incredible workers, and I might be a little biased, but to me, they're stealing shows with the matches they're putting on, and that's, you know, I say that as a fan, I say that as a worker, I say that as someone who, you know, did have a little taste of backstage action. So, that's not going to go away anytime soon. Those girls are hungry, and they will keep, you know, delivering with their matches for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What was it like after she came backstage with the belt? Like, where was everybody like cheering for her and stuff?
I mean, I didn't see her come backstage, but, you know, I don't think anybody could be bitter for someone that has, wish when they have success for whatever accomplishments they have within that business. So.
Yeah. It was an amazing moment for women's wrestling. It really was. That match, like, they probably told them to go out there and pull the stops and just have a hell of a match, because those two girls went out there and just tore the house down.
Oh, absolutely. They're incredible workers.
And what's it like backstage for you being like an extra? Like, did they accept you right away, or did they kind of like go hang out with the other extras?
You're cutting out again. Can you say that one more time?
What's it like backstage for you being an extra? Like, did the roster kind of take you in and accept you, or did you kind of hang out with the other extras?
Well, I can tell you everybody is running around like crazy because everyone has a million things to do. So it's a lot of like just passing forth. Everyone's extremely friendly. For me, it's kind of like mini fangirl because it's everyone I look up to in one building and I get to say hi to all of them. So that's always cool. So it's an honor to be in the same building. You know, girls like Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, Natalya.
So if the future, if you did get a contract and you got signed, who were a couple of the girls that you would have a dream match against?
Well, I'm gonna have to say I have to do a rematch with Nia.
Nice.
That goes without saying. But literally anybody on that roster, I would have goosebumps if I saw my name on the same card as them. I know, like, Sasha, particularly Sasha and Becky worked on the indies for a while, so that would be incredible to be like, oh hey, like I worked on the indies too. But anybody, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, Asuka, you know, and Bayley, anybody. There was no one that I would even think twice about not being excited for.
That's awesome. NXT brings in a lot of extras, like Deonna Purrazzo, you just mentioned her, and Tessa Blanchard, and a few others. You probably have to be located in Florida to get that spot, but is that something that you would want to do?
I definitely don't think I would turn down very many opportunities. It's like my dream company, so whatever they would send my way, I would gratefully accept.
Nice. Who did you look up to, like, growing up, being a wrestling fan?
Oh, definitely Lita.
Yeah, Lita was definitely different from the rest of the ladies, that's for sure. Hello? Uh-oh. I think I lost Britt, everybody.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So you said Lita, and did you say anybody else?
Primarily Lita. Lita was like the badass, no one mess with me girl, and that's just so cool. And it still is cool. It's just so cool and so admirable. And
yeah, it is pretty cool. And it's cool that she's kind of still around in the women's ambassador kind of role a little bit. She presented the new belt at WrestleMania, and now she's on the pre-show panels and stuff. She has a lot
she
of...
was actually at the tryout camp when I was there, so that was like pretty surreal.
Did you get to meet her?
I did.
That's amazing. What was that like for you?
I was definitely a little bit starstruck because it was just so overwhelming because you're doing, you know, all these blow-up drills, trying to impress everybody, and then, like, oh, my gosh, there's Lita in the corner, and then the whole camp itself is an experience, but to have one of your idols there, like, kind of watching and overseeing, it's just surreal.
So was Lita participating in being, like, a coach or an instructor, or was she just kind of observating?
She was more like observing more so than anything, but you know, I'm sure anybody in the building has more than enough knowledge, intelligence on the court to give feedback and input. So I would imagine she was, you know, giving her two cents here and there too.
Yeah. Probably like to the coaches and stuff, but that's pretty cool that you met Lita.
Yeah. I would agree. It was pretty cool.
Maybe one of these days, if you get to go backstage at a pay-per-view, you could hang out with her again. That'd be cool.
Oh, I wish. That'd be sweet.
Who's a couple of the girls on the indies that you haven't had a chance to wrestle yet that you would love to wrestle?
Actually, one of them, who I get to wrestle this weekend, Sienna, TNA. She's the Knockouts champ. She works as Allison Kay on the indies, and I will be wrestling her this Saturday at AIW. They do a girls night out show where it's an all female card, and those shows are always just so overwhelming but so fun because it's the best. It's some of the best female workers in the nation. So, but other than that, you know, I'd love to have a match with Candice because I think my heart would just explode with about a million different emotions just because I look up to her so much. Someone else, I would love to work Jade from TNA. She's an amazing, amazing wrestler. Oh, and Crazy Mary. Love her.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome, too. Have you had a chance to work with any, former WWE women wrestlers?
No, I haven't. I'm trying to think. No. That would be cool, too.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too.
Anytime I'm booked for a match, I'm excited, no matter who it is. So it's hard for me to... I'm always, like, overly excited, overly nervous. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. No, I haven't.
Yeah, it'll happen, I'm sure, one of these days. Maybe a Mickey James or something.
Right, that would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely cool. So what do you have going on? Anything coming up or anything like that?
What's that?
Do you have anything coming up?
Show-wise?
Yeah. Or whatever you want to talk about. If you have, like, something that's not a show, too.
Well, yeah, I did just get out of school right before I called you because I'm a full-time dental student on top of not, and everyone always says, oh, like a dental hygienist. No, like, I'm like a dental student. So,
like, you're going to be a dentist one day?
Wrestling is always fun. Yeah. That's
well,
plan.
You could be the you could be the female version of Isaac Yankum. You could be the wrestling female dentist.
Oh my gosh, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that, I could.
Dang it. I thought I was being original.
Right. No. That gets a little brutal, balancing, you know, working out, training, studying, wrestling, sleeping, eating. Got to get them all in at some point.
Do you have any free time at all with that schedule?
Yeah, this weekend I'm... what's that?
Do you have any free time at all with that schedule?
No. Minimal.
No life at all. Just wrestling, studying, and training.
Involved.
It'll pay off for you in the long run, though. It definitely will.
Yeah, and I love doing it. You know, there's nothing. I can't really say anything bad about it. Yeah, there's a night when you're tired and exhausted, but at the end of the day, if you love what you do, you can't really complain.
So is being a dentist something that you plan to do while you wrestle, or is that kind of a backup plan for maybe after wrestling is over?
Ideally, yes, but, you know, I don't really have much, I don't have the final say in how far my wrestling career goes or how long it goes, so I guess I can't really give a solid, firm response to that because I don't know. We'll see where things go.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's crazy. You got a lot of stuff going on.
I know. Lucky me, right?
Lucky you. What was it about dentistry that kind of pulled you in?
So I did my undergrad at Penn State University, and kind of toward the end of my sophomore year, I literally had no idea what I wanted to do, and so I started job shadowing. I liked science. I liked health. Like healthcare. So I was like, well, I'll see what I like. And, you know, I did the business side of things, hated it, kind of like education stuff, hated it. And then I job shadowed my dentist and I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. It's like art and science and health and all, everything mixed all in one. And I actually went to my advisor at the time for undergrad and said, hey, I think I want to be a dentist. And she said, well, you won't get in, so I don't know about that. And that
Ouch.
Just, like, pissed me off so much that I did nothing but study my butt off for the final 2 years, brought my grades up, did, like, super well on the entrance exam. And I got into several dental schools and even more interviews. And I forwarded her every single acceptance letter I had. Little passive-aggressive, but I that's just how I am. I was like, tell me I can't, and I'll show you I will.
Well, congratulations on that one. You're a little rebel, though. Like, you know, you can't get any dentist school, so you try really hard. And for women to get into WWE, it's very rare, but you're trying really hard, and you just want to, like, rewrite all the rules.
Right. I do. And I will.
That's awesome.
Someday.
Someday, definitely someday. You have your foot in the door, and if you, I'm sure you've done it by now, but if you search Britt Baker on Twitter, there's a lot of people that were talking about you last week, so a lot of wrestling fans definitely know your name now.
Yeah, that was a little bit overwhelming at first, but cool.
I was looking for your Twitter, and so I just typed in Britt Baker, and everybody's just talking about you. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to be the flavor of the week.
yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. So what do you have coming up show-wise?
So this Saturday, I'm in Cleveland with AIW against TNA Knockout Champ at the Girls Night Out show. At the end of the month, I'll be at the Monster Factory in New Jersey defending the title there.
Oh, nice. Monster Factory Women's Champion?
Yeah, well, they call it the Monster Factory Girl Champion, but yes.
The Girl Champion. Who did you defeat for that?
I defeated Deonna.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
I remember when she won it. That was pretty cool. How does it feel for you to have your title, your first title?
Pretty surreal. It's cool. And my roommate who I live with now, she's like a newfound wrestling fan because I always have it on, and she'll always be like, hey, let me see the title, let me see the belt again. it's funny because I'm like, okay, let me go get it.
Wow, they let you take it home? I would figure they would keep it with the show and then just give it to you when you arrive to the building.
No, you take it with you.
Nice.
It's sitting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the moment.
Oh, that's cool. Where are you?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so you're in Pittsburgh as well. In Britsburg, right?
That's right. That's where you get it.
Definitely. Hashtag Britsburg. Any of the other shows coming up for you?
Trying to think what else I have. There are. I just don't have my schedule or anything. I always wrestle under IWC in Pittsburgh as well. Trying to think what else I have. I wish I had my schedule sitting in front of me because I can't even think of what I have. But, yes. And if you follow me on Twitter, I actively promote those. So,
what's the Twitter handle you got?
Real Britt Baker.
Real Britt Baker.
R-I-T-T.
Awesome.
Yep.
Two T's for everybody.
Don't mess it up. Two T's.
Two T's. Well, thank you very much, Britt. It's been really fun talking to you.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I got a hold of you.
Yeah, keep up the good work. And, you know, you'll be in WWE or NXT or something like that in no time. You really will, because you're doing good. You're making a name for yourself. And like I said before, a lot of people know your name now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm here with independent pro wrestler, wrestling promoter, and internet sensation, James Ellsworth. How you doing, James?
I'm great. That internet sensation part, I'm just not used to it, but it sounds cool.
It does sound really cool, doesn't it? It's crazy how fast kind of you went from being like an enhancement guy, like a no-name enhancement guy, to the internet just fell in love with you. What's that like for you?
I mean, it's cool. It's very humbling. I never imagined it happening. Like, and it's just neat to see. It's cool talking to people all over the world. That's the best part. I'm talking to WWE fans or wrestling fans from all over the world. That's very fun.
That's crazy. And, you know, growing up, I've seen so many enhancement matches, so many matches where, you know, you see the guy's name flash on the screen, you never hear it again, or you never see the name again, and it's amazing how the internet is just taken to you.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things of why it's happening. Like, the promo I cut was, like, very inspiring for people, I guess, is what people are telling me, and just the way I look, I'm not a normal-looking guy, so people are having fun with that, which I think is great, by the way. I have no hard feelings about any of it. I think it's all awesome, so I think it was a mixture of that, the promo and the way I look, and that's been great.
I've seen some really cool memes with you in them.
Yeah, there's been a bunch. I think that's the funniest part. Like I said, I take none of it the wrong way. I think it's all awesome, so...
So have you done WWE stuff before, or is this your actual Monday Night Raw debut?
I was a Rosebud a couple of times with Adam Rose, but other than that, okay. It was my first match there, and it really could have went better. I'm very happy and proud of how it all took place.
Well, congratulations on the big debut, man. That's awesome.
All right, thank you.
The Rosebud thing. I thought the Rosebud thing was really cool because it got a lot of indie wrestlers like a chance to kind of rub elbows with the WWE guys and some TV time. How did you feel about the Rosebud thing?
I mean, it was fun, man. We rehearsed the entrance. You know, I was one of the first. I think I was one of the original Rosebuds on WWE TV, not NXT, of course. But we rehearsed that entrance so many times during the day. The first time we did it, and the second day we didn't rehearse at all, we just did it. But it was good. It was cool, man. It was a fun experience. That was my first time in front of the WWE universe there, the crowd there. Believe it or not, my first time as a Rosebud, it's so crazy how things happen, was in Pittsburgh. That's the same room, you know, that I just did Raw at. So that was
wow.
Pittsburgh's been great to me, and it's funny because I'm a guy from Baltimore, and we have the whole Raven Steelers rivalry.
that's crazy.
So nice to me.
Wow, it's kind of come full circle for you there. How did you? Because I know you do. You wrestle as Pretty Jimmy Dream, and you promote on the indies.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll.
I'm sorry. What was that?
No, good. No, I was listening.
How did you get on the radar of the WWE? Did you have to kind of go to them?
Yeah. I mean, like, to be an extra talent, you just have to send your stuff in. Go on WWE.com. There's an application on there. You just push in the search engine, you know, search application. There's an application, and, you know, like, you can call their offices, and they'll give you an email that, you know, you email the guy that basically hires the extras. And, yeah, I mean, for years and years and years, I always tried and tried. And, you know, I'm a small guy. Like, it – you know, like a lot of times when they use extras, they're looking for security guards, guys with a little bit of body and all that. So it was very hard for me. But once I got booked to do the Rosebud stuff, like, you know, I'll always show up on time. I'll always, you know, just keep my mouth shut and do what it's ever asking me to do. And, like, so as soon as I started doing that stuff, they've asked me back a lot, and, you know, to the point where I finally got a match, which is, you know, awesome.
Definitely awesome. Tell me a little bit about Pretty Jimmy Dream. How did he get into professional wrestling, and who were your kind of inspirations growing up?
Well, growing up, man, I mean, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. I was big on the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. I mean, I'm 31, but I noticed them when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And then it's funny because the Rockers came onto WWF, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, which is kind of a parody of the Rocker, the Rock and Roll Express. And I was big on the Rockers, and you know, I liked, even as a kid, I liked the bad guys. I loved Rude and Mr. Perfect, and, you know, Ric Flair and NWA, then WCW, and I was legit scared of Vader as a kid, but always liked watching him. I was legit scared of him. So, like, yeah, I watched it all. Any wrestling that was on TV from the time I was 4 years old till now when I'm 31, you know, I've watched it all. Anything that's on TV, I'll watch. I'm just in love with the business, and the business has been very kind to me back. So, it's you know, I just like to, you know, it all growing up.
How did you go about getting into the business yourself?
Well, I graduated high school when I was 17 years old, on June the 1st. And then June the 4th, I signed up to a wrestling school called Bone Breakers here in Baltimore and was trained by the late Axel Rotten. And
oh, nice.
Went from there, wrestling on the independents all these years, the last 14 years, and being mentored by him and, you know, going to shows with him all the time and everything. So I got very lucky to have a trainer that, you know, was very smart about the business, and I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, how was it training under Axel and kind of being having him as your mentor?
Oh, it was great. See, a lot of people, like, they don't know about Axel. His mind for the business was so awesome. Yeah, he had his demons and he had his problems. And, yeah, he was a hardcore wrestler. That's what he was known for. That's what made him popular. But, you know, early in his career, he wrestled for Jerry Lawler at USWA, and he wrestled, like, you know, he did some enhancement matches for WCW. So he had a very smart mind for the business and, like, how to work in the ring and how to get the crowd to pop. And, I mean, he taught me all that stuff, and, you know, I was very grateful for it. And he was, you know, he became one of my best friends. And, you know, like, he had his demons, you know, stuff that, you know, I will go, you know, and say that I was never involved in or never had an interest in. But, you know, and it sucks. I miss him a lot because he was one of my best friends, and I wish he was here today to see all this cool stuff that's going on with me right now. But, you know, we were always buddies. He was always very good to me.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of him in ECW. That was my main exposure to the guy. But that's really cool that you got to spend some time with him before he passed away.
Yeah. Like, during the end there, like, the end of his life, I didn't see him much, but I always talked to him, like, on the phone at least a couple times a week and on Facebook. And about 3 days before his passing was the last time I talked to him. And, yeah, I miss him. He was a great guy in heart. And, he had a very, you know, like, I always tell everybody when I talk about Axel to read The Heroin Diaries. It's a book. Just check that out, and you'll see what all that stuff's about and how hard it is to shake and get away from. And he just could never shake it. And I call it up to him, and it's a very sad, tragic story. And, you know, I don't wish that on anyone or anyone that you love. I don't wish that on it. It's very sad and unfortunate.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. Definitely a sad situation. So you don't have the normal build of a wrestler. You're kind of small. Did people tell you that, like, not to do it, that you can't do it, that you won't, like, become anything in wrestling? Like, was that an uphill battle for you?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember, in high school, I was always a class clown, man. Dude, I'm just a fun-loving guy. Like, I like to have fun and, you know, like, I have a good time. And that's the way I've always been. Always been, like, you know, a ham and wanting attention on me. So I remember in high school, my math teacher, I'm clowning around in class. I'm, like, 16 years old. And, I'm clowning around. He's like, man, what do you going to make of yourself? You're always joking around. He's like, you're a very intelligent kid, but you don't use it to your full potential. You're always, you know, clowning around and making a joke of everything. And I told the guy, I just want to have fun in life. He's like, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be? And I said, oh, I'm going to be a wrestler. And he said, he's like, a wrestler for who? And I said, you know, back then it was WWF, but we'll still say WWE, so there's no confusion to the WWE universe out there that might be a little younger. I was like, well, I'm going to wrestle for WWE when I get older. And I remember him telling me, that he said this right to me. He said, you will never wrestle for WWE. That's what he told me.
Wow.
And I have him on Facebook, and I one of the first things I did after my Bachelor Raw was send him the video of it and wrote, you were wrong. And he smiled back at me. He's like, did I really tell you that you would never do that? And I said, yes, you did. You know, he wasn't a bad guy or nothing, but he did tell me that because of my size and everything. And, you know, but wrestling, you know, wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes, especially this day and age. Like a guy like Sami Zayn, like if you saw Sami Zayn, who was a tremendous wrestler, very talented, if you saw that guy at Walmart, would you look at Sami Zayn and say, that guy has to be a wrestler?
No way. Yeah, you're right. There's no way.
Because, you know, he's not that big. Yeah. So wrestling these days, it's a very, you know, a very hot time in the wrestling business. And right now, wrestlers, you know, it's not like it was, you know, in previous years where you had to look like Roman Reigns. You had to be that great-looking guy with a great physique and all that. I mean, now you have, you know, guys like Finn Balor, who's in great shape. He's all cut up and all. But Finn Balor's, you know, not as much, you know, he's, you know, I stood right next to him at Raw. He's not that big, but, I mean, he's in great shape, way better shape than I'm in. But, you know, it's a great era. It's a new era, like they're saying on TV. So they come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm not that big. I do work out. My metabolism sucks, man. I can eat anything. I can work out hard. It's hard for me to gain. So, but, yeah, it's just wrestlers come in all shapes and sizes right now. So I don't let anybody tell me I'm too small. And, you know.
But you're right, though. Like, 2 or 3 years ago, if you would have told me about the Cruiserweight Classic, I wouldn't have believed you.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, that's been great. Everybody's been very entertained by that. You know, I haven't watched a lot of it yet. I mean, there's some people I know that are in it, and I'm going to check it out. And I know Cedric Alexander, I heard he tore up in it, and they gave him, I think he's signed now. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I heard he tore up in the Cruiserweight Classic. And I definitely want to check it out. I'm a fan of all aspects of wrestling, cruiserweight wrestling, you know, heavyweight wrestling, women's wrestling, which women's wrestling is the best right now, better than it's ever been. So I'm just a fan, man. I love it all. I've always loved it all. Like I said, since I was a kid. So.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. I'm about your age too, and I've been just loving it since as far back as I can remember, honestly. So you run a wrestling promotion called Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Is that right?
No, it's Adrenaline called Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. It's Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. Yeah, it's cool. We're based here.
So talk about it a little bit, about how you kind of got that started and kind of what it's about.
Well, actually, it's been around since 2009. Started here in Maryland, where I'm at. I live in Baltimore. And it started in 2009. When it first started, I was just a booker. I didn't own it. Fast forward to late 2012 or early 2013, pretty much bought the company, bought the belts, bought the banners, bought everything the guy owned, and took it over. He didn't basically want to run it anymore. And I took it over, and I never in my life thought I would be a wrestling promoter and run wrestling shows. But, you know, a lot of my buddies were wrestling for ACW, and I just didn't want to see it going anywhere. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. So I started, you know, giving it a try, and I started making a profit at it. I'm like, man, this is cool. Like, so here we are, you know, about 3 years later after I took over, and now we're running shows in Maryland and Pennsylvania. I'm actually a licensed wrestling promoter in the state of Maryland and Pennsylvania, and we're running like 20 shows a year, and it's going really well. And if anybody wants to check it out, we're on AdrenalineWrestling.com, or we're on Facebook at, you know, Facebook/Adrenaline Championship Wrestling. It's you know, it's a fun little project that I have going on, and I enjoy it, and I love my guys. I have a good crew, so it's great, man. I very much enjoy promoting the shows.
That's awesome. How has has being a promoter kind of changed your outlook on wrestling?
Oh, I mean, yeah, like, I love learning everything about wrestling. You never stop learning, you know, with the wrestling business. You can pick up something new every time you're in the locker room. And, yeah, being a wrestling promoter, you see it from the other side, because I was just a wrestler on the indies all these years, you know, never promoted shows or nothing. But being a promoter, man, it's you see, you know, you learn how to promote the shows, put up the posters, put up the signs, do the advertisements online, and do, you know, you learn all that part of it. And then, you know, now you're not like, you're still one of the boys, I'll always be one of the boys, but like now you're on the other side where you're the one paying the boys and you're the one writing the storylines, the booking the matches and talking to them about what they're doing at the next show. So, you know, it's crazy. It's definitely different than just being, you know, a wrestler on the indies.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds pretty, pretty epic there. So let's get into Monday Night Raw a little bit. So they contacted you and you just kind of showed up on Raw and you don't really know what to expect. Is that kind of how it works? You just kind of go there and, hey, maybe I'll have some catering and go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the whole thing, you know, like I've been extra talent numerous times and there's been plenty of times where I've been there and we haven't done anything. Just sit around and just wait. Cause you know, you're an extra, just like being an extra in a movie. You could be, if you watch a movie, there's guys in the background all the time, whether they're sitting at a restaurant or whether they're like in the prison as, you know, one of the, you know, the guys and criminals just sitting in the jail, or, you know, extra could be anything. It's the same thing with WWE. So, yeah, this time I got the email, hey, you want to come do Battleground in D.C., Raw in Pittsburgh, and SmackDown in Buffalo, New York? And I never say no. I never turn them down. I'm like, yeah.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
So I show up to Battleground, you know, sitting catering most of the time and watch the show. I actually, quick story about Battleground, like, when I saw Bailey, you know, was going to be the partner for Sasha Banks as she was walking like past where catering was to Gorilla, I was like, oh man, I got to like stand out in the crowd and listen to her reaction because I knew she was going to get a great reaction. And when her music hit, they went nuts, and you just get those chills because you know that had to feel good for her. She's an awesome wrestler. She worked very hard to get where she's at today, so that was cool. And so yeah, that's basically what I did at Battleground. And Zack Ryder practiced a couple of things on me before Battleground in the ring, so I did do that. You know, that's another thing as an extra that could happen. They'll pull you in the ring, practice some stuff on you, and Zack Ryder did that with me at, you know, before Battleground. And then, you know, go in the Raw. We get to Raw. As soon as we get there, they're like, all right, we need all the extras around the ring at 2:30. And we're like, okay, we get there at 1. So we go eat. We put our gear on and we get around the ring. And Arn Anderson's looking around. Arn Anderson comes out there and he's looking around, and he comes right up to me. There's 6 extras, and he came right up to me and he goes, "Let me see you throw a punch, kid." And I said, "Okay." And I threw a punch at one of the other extras, and Arn Anderson said, "You know what, kid? That wasn't bad at all." He said, "Get in the ring." So I get in the ring, and I see Braun Strowman come out, and he gets in the ring, and Arn's like, "All right, you think you could punch him like that?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And he goes, "All right, He's like, well, we need a guy to work, wrestle him on Raw tonight." He's like, are you comfortable with that? I said, absolutely. He said, how much experience do you have? I said, I've been wrestling 14 years. He said, oh. He said, okay, well, your punch was really good, so I believe you. I said, thank you. And so Braun and I talked a little bit or whatever, and just went from there. And then as I was about to leave the ring, one of the writers come up to me. He's like, hey, kid, can you promo? Do you know how to talk? I said, oh, yeah, man. I was like, I talk all the time on the indies. I grab the stick all the time. So they had me practice a promo, and they liked it. And they were like, all right, yeah, we'll give you 15, 20 seconds on TV. That was an idea they had. It was for, you know, these extras or jobbers, as people know them as, to, like, say something, and Braun comes out and destroys them. That was their idea. But they – you know, they didn't know if they were going to go with it, and they had me do the promo, and they liked it. So we get to the back, and they had me practicing the promo. They're like, is there anything you might want to add to the promo? He's like, 9 times out of 10, you know, it'll get turned down. But if you have any idea of what might, you know, you could add to this that might work, you know, I mean, I was like, well, I'm punching him twice. I was like, is there any way I could say any man with 2 hands has a fighting chance? And the writer, like, was like, oh, man, I like it. He's like, let me go get it cleared, and, you know, I'll let you know. So after he said that, I didn't see that writer for an hour and a half. Like, this is around, like, 4 o'clock, I tell him that. So, like, around 5:30, he comes back. He's like, oh, man, they loved it, so now you have to say it. I said, oh, okay, don't worry, I'll say it. So, you know, and I got to say it, and then that's one of the things that people were talking about on the net is that line. And, I didn't know that was going to happen. I keep on saying that to all these radio interviews I'm doing, podcast interviews. I didn't know any of this was going to happen. I didn't plan for it to happen. I didn't sucker anyone into it happening. Like, I literally thought I was going to do the job, roll out of the ring, and like you said earlier, be forgotten, like all the other enhancement talent. You know, God bless them all. Like, we're all there to do a job. We're just a small piece of the puzzle to a big puzzle that night. And I thought that was going to be me. Like, nobody would remember me the next day. And very lucky and fortunate that I wake up and it just didn't happen like that. I feel so lucky about that. I'm very humble about it. It's one of the greatest blessings other than having my kids. It's the biggest blessing that's ever happened to me in my life, and I do appreciate all the love. So
that's amazing. That's really awesome. You said you talked to Braun for a few minutes. How is he like? Is he a nice guy? And was he easy to work with?
Oh, absolutely. He's great. And, you know, and like Arn was the agent. Those agents, man, it's great. Like, you know, like, I don't know how people feel about people having agents and helping them put their matches together. But when you have a guy like Arn Anderson put your match together, you're going to become a good worker. And, you know, Braun, he's big, so he don't have to be a great worker, but I think he's going to be. And he was such a nice dude, and he's so cool. I mean, he's such a monster, too. Like, he's on TV, he looks really big. That's not just the TV doing that. He's just huge. And he was so cool. And everybody after I did the job was so cool. I mean, so many things happened after that job that I didn't think would ever happen. Like, you know, I'll go into detail a little more. Like, so after the job, I actually had a shirt in Gorilla I took off before I walked out there. And I went back to the Gorilla to get my shirt, and Arn Anderson stopped me. He's like, hey kid, I just wanted to thank you. You did a very good job. He said, you know, you made my job easy as an agent tonight. He's like, thank you very much. And Vince comes down the stairs in the Gorilla and like looks at me, and I was like scared. And Vince put his hand out. He said, you did very good, kid. Very good job. And I shook
my hand.
And it was just like so crazy, man. Like, you know, a guy like me who's been a fan my whole life, and I love Vince McMahon. I respect him so much. You know, there's people that love him, people that hate him. I have nothing but love and respect for the man. And, you know, it was so cool. And like, just after that, I'm walking back to the extra talent locker room, and, like, Chris Jericho stopped me and said, good job, and Enzo Amore. And then later on, when I was leaving, Mick Foley and John Cena all said, good job. And I'm like, man, this is great. Like, I never expected any of this. And then, like I said, I went back to the hotel, got – you know, we drove to Buffalo that night for SmackDown the next day, and got to the hotel, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and that just looked at my phone with all this memes and people messaging me, and, you know, my friend request on Facebook and all this, and I truly never expected any of it, and I don't know if I deserve it still to this day. It's crazy. I just take it all in. I try to be so nice to everybody, because it's just me. I'm a very nice, humble guy, and yeah, I'm trying to message everybody back. I haven't turned one of these podcasts down. I've been doing them all, and you know, it's awesome, dude. I would have never thought that this little guy from Baltimore would ever have been through any of this. So
that's amazing, man. That's so awesome. That's really cool. Were you nervous going into the match with Braun, or were you just kind of confident and comfortable? It's just, you're in front of a lot of people. You're on live television, and you're facing a monster.
Oh, well, yeah, the whole day from the I knew about the match around, yeah, like the whole day from 3 o'clock until I went on a 10:20. So from 3 to 10, that's 7 hours that I knew I was going to do that match. So from 3 to 10, I was nervous all day. I ate some fish, and that was it from catering. I didn't eat much, but I was nervous all day. But at 10 o'clock, when I got in the Gorilla and Sasha and Charlotte were having their match, I'm watching their match in a Gorilla position. They have TVs in there, and I'm watching it. Then I started to feel calm and cool and collective. And then once I walked to the ring and I got in the ring, I mean, I've been wrestling for 14 years. My whole intention was just to do a good job. That was my focus. That was my main concern, was just do a good job. And when I got in the ring, I, you know, didn't feel as nervous as I did in the back all day, waiting for it. Once I got in the ring, I was comfortable because, you know, I've been wrestling so long. Once you get in that ring, you've been wrestling as long as I have. There's a little amount of comfort that, you know, comes along to you, and it did right there at Raw. I looked around at the crowd, and to me, I don't mind people at all. The more the merrier. So I don't know how many people were there tonight. If I had to guess, probably about 16,000-17,000. And didn't bother me a bit. Like, I love being in front of people. I love performing. And, you know, as soon as Strowman came out and we went into the match, it was all business. I was just focused on doing a good job. That was my only concern. And I was fine. As soon as I got in that ring, I was fine. So.
At the end of the match, when Braun had Joe for his big finisher, it looked like you were waving goodbye to the TV audience and to the crowd. Is that what happened? And was that your idea, or did somebody else tell you to do that?
No, I just think my arm went up as it was happening because I was so high in the air. Like, you think you're flying. you're high in the air like that. And there's a way to take that bump. There's a way to take that bump to protect yourself where you don't get hurt. And that was, you know, that was part of it, too. So,
just kind of preparing for the fall, maybe.
You know, well, like everything was nice and snug. He's a big dude. I'm small. Yeah, but. And it was, it's funny that somebody, you know, it's just one of those things where somebody in slow motion took a picture of my hand in the air and put, you know, that was another meme. So it's another funny thing that happened. So
I like the one that you're photoshopped with the Money in the Bank briefcase and the ladder. That's great.
Yeah, all of it's great, man. I laugh at it all. Like, people are like, are you offended by any of this? 100% no. Like,
this is like a dream come true for you, I'm
people
sure.
People are talking about me good and bad. I love it all, man. I appreciate it, all the attention I'm getting. Trust me, it's very humbling. Very, very humbling.
Were you used on SmackDown, or were you not used that night?
Well, no. I mean, I figure after you get destroyed by Strowman, you're not going to be seen for a while. You know?
Oh, that's a good point.
Let's say he just beat the crap out of me, and then the next day on SmackDown, I, you know, got beat up by Heath Slater. I think a local talent did that the next day. One of the guys that was there, like, that wouldn't have made to me. It won't make any sense. Like, he's a big dude. I got to be not seen for a while, you know. So hopefully that won't be my last time there. We will see. Can't really talk much about it. We'll see.
Yeah.
I hope and pray all this attention means that I'll get another shot. So.
Yeah, especially if Vince McMahon's going out of his way to congratulate you. I'm sure you'll be back. That's amazing, man. Congratulations on the big debut, and congratulations on your stardom here with the internet. That's amazing. What's next for James Ellsworth, and what's next for ACW?
Well, I'm going to be doing ACW. We have a show in Denton, Maryland on August 20th, so that's coming up in, a little over 2 weeks now, and get tickets for that at adrenalinewrestling.com. So that's for what's next for ACW. What's next for James Ellsworth is I'm going to continue to use that name, which James Ellsworth is my real first and my real middle name, and I'm going to continue to wrestle under that for a while here and see where it goes. You know, it's cool every now and then to reinvent yourself anyway. So now being like a heel in the indies as Pretty Jimmy Dream and with my tag team partner Adam Ugly together, we're known as Pretty Ugly. You know, going from that to doing this like James Ellsworth babyface inspiring stuff, it's going to be cool. I like, you know, every now and then switching it. And I'm going to have fun being James Ellsworth as long as the fans want me to be. So
that's amazing. You want to go ahead and drop some social media or something for if people want to get a hold of you?
Absolutely, yeah. If you want to find me on Facebook, go to Facebook and search James Ellsworth. I have a regular page, which I think I'm maxed out on friends. I think I want, it deleted, 100 people a day, just add 100 new people. I also have a fan page on there that I just started this week at James Ellsworth on Facebook. On Instagram, it's at James Ellsworth Wrestling. On Twitter, it's James Ellsworth at P Jimmy Dream. That's at P Jimmy Dream, and that's about it. So that's all my social media. And in closing, I just like to say, if anybody out there has a dream or goal or something they want to accomplish. I'm living proof. I'm 31 years old, been watching wrestling my whole life. My dream, and this is no lie, was to be on Monday Night Raw, not SmackDown, not any pay-per-view. I've been watching Monday Night Raw. I've watched every single episode since 1993 when it first came on the air, and my dream was always to perform on Monday Night Raw, and I got to live that dream. So if you have a dream and you want an accomplishment, every man with two hands has a fighting chance. Go out there and try fight for your dream.
Awesome. Thank you so much, James. That was really fun.
Thank you. You take care and call me anytime.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Boom, welcome back to the podcast, Pro Wrestling Nation. I am still your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I would like to give a big shout out and a thank you to Britt Baker. Follow her on Twitter at RealBrittBaker. And that's two T's, B-R-I-T-T, Baker. Real Britt Baker on Twitter. Check her out. Also, James Ellsworth. Like, it was really cool talking to these two. And James Ellsworth was really cool. And they're both just so nice. So nice. It was a pleasure really talking to Britt and James coming out of WWE, Monday Night Raw, the enhancement matches, and they're both so willing to do the podcast, and they're both so so nice to me. So I really appreciate both of them. Follow James Ellsworth on Twitter at PJimmyDream. I think that's what it is, right? PJimmyDream on Twitter. Check him out at PJimmyDream. Pretty Jimmy Dream on Twitter. Check him out. Welcome back to the show, Pro Wrestling Nation. I am your host. My name is still Funky Sam Medina. I didn't change it in the last 90 seconds. What's going on, people? What's going on? Follow me on Twitter at PWM Podcast. Follow my two awesome guests on Twitter at the Twitter handles I gave you already. Next week, I have an exciting show for you. It's going to be fun. I'm not going to tell you who it is right now because it's not recorded yet and I don't want to jinx it. And then the week after that, I got something planned out. I got some cool stuff planned out for you guys right now. So I'm excited. The next couple of weeks are going to be fun. We're going to do some cool stuff together. And you're going to check it all out. So follow me on Twitter at PWM Podcast. And thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And I think that's all that needs to be said. Because, before I leave, I just want to say that Raw and SmackDown, week two, they were really good. There's a lot of cool stuff. I like the Heath Slater stuff. I like Rhino. I like seeing Rhino. What else did I like? I guess I'm going to have to go on a quick tangent real quick. Finn Balor, he isn't too good on the mic, and it's not his fault. You know, he's still new, and Seth is very, very much more experienced. Seth has main evented WrestleMania. Seth has been Money in the Bank. Seth was the first NXT champion. You know, he was the first draft pick. Seth was great on the mic. Anyways, my whole thing about Finn Balor was I didn't want him to turn heel. I didn't want him to turn heel so soon because he's such a great babyface. But maybe that's what's best for him is to turn heel and he doesn't have to talk. You know, and he could get training and practice in the back. Luke and Carl can talk for him for a while. And that'd be really cool. But it looks like they're going to go with Roman Reigns being the heel. Then again, I don't know, because they swerved us on Monday with the whole United States title thing. What did you guys think of Roman? He came out sporting the beard with no contacts on, and his vest was a little bit different, a little different color scheme there going on, and he was here to defend USA. Roman Reigns is here to defend the USA, you guys. Like, just when you thought they weren't going to make him into John Cena, he's here to defend the USA. I like that he had less of a pretty boy look. You know, he looked more rugged, more savage. I feel like Roman Reigns' character needs to be more savage. You know, he's Samoan. Let him be a Samoan. Don't turn him into, a white meat baby face. Let him be a savage. You know, take his shoes off. Make him jump and yell oos. I'm just kidding. But if they just let him be more himself, more savage, more Samoan, more true to his own gimmick, you know, I think he'd be a lot better. So we'll see what they do with Roman. What else? Chris Jericho, Sasha Banks, Enzo Amore. Sasha Banks got married.
I don't know. I can't think of anything else offhand. AJ Styles and John Cena, they had a thing in the ring, a confrontation. Yeah, well, I'm going to go because I just want to say that week two was good. Week two was good. Not as good as week one, but we'll see, man. Going forward, WWE New Era, you know, so far so good. So I'm happy. I'm happy with it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading. And I'll see you next week. Peace.